Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Equip for Destiny podcast. My name is Bishop Eddie Gross, and I am so glad that you're with us today. Welcome to Equip for Destiny. We are obviously celebrating our Palm Sunday. Wow, this is very much a different environment. I don't know about you. I'm just sorting through all of this, I'm so used to being in church during this time, so used to celebrating Palm Sunday. And I was just thinking early today how I could just go back through the years, man, various churches that I've attended. I was in the military, for you all who don't know, I'm a veteran. So I've had to worship a lot of different places. And so I was just thinking back on the number of places that I've been over the years as I was serving a country, and the different type of churches that I worshiped at, and some of the memories. And so a lot of good memories. And so I know this is very much different. And I know that a lot of us are used to being in service during this time. You're used to, you're just used to something different than this. And I get that. And I understand. But what I want you to know tonight is that although our circumstances are different, our God is the same. Amen, amen, amen. And so we are just so grateful that he's the type of God who looks into the hearts of people. And he doesn't look at our circumstances and judge us by our circumstances, judges by our hearts. And so we are celebrating Christ nonetheless. We're doing it in a very different way, obviously. But the effect is no less the same. Amen. Praise God. And so I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful that you're here with me to help me tonight to lift up the matchless name of Jesus. Because in the end of the day, that's what it's really all about. So whether or not we're in a building and whether we're not in a building, none of that matters in the context that in the end of the day, we have the same responsibility, and that is to lift up Jesus. And so we just have to find some incredible and new ways to do that. And I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit tonight before we leave. But I got a word for you tonight that I want to share with you. And I just want to say from the outset that, you know, I do my very best to try to teach these teach these messages, because I know that I have people who are listening to me. And then some of you, you may be sitting, watching, others may be doing other things and watching. So I try to be sure that I'm as clear as I possibly can be, but I'm a preacher. I just have to say it, you know. Yes, I love to teach, but I love to preach as well. And anytime I'm talking about Christ, and I'm talking about the things that we're talking about tonight, talking about him being Christ supreme, his deity, his power, his glory, his majesty, I just get fired up. I'm sorry. So I just want to apologize in the beginning. If I get worked up tonight, you're just going to have to just pray for me. But this message just so touched my heart. And it's just a reminder to me that our Christ is truly the King. Can you say amen to that? Okay. So having said that tonight, I want to call your attention to the Gospel of John, verse number 12. Chapter number 12. We're going to look at verse 12 through 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, starting at verse number 12. I'm reading from the New King James. You may be reading from some other translation, but we will arrive at the same destination. John chapter 12, starting at verse number 12. We're going to read to verse number 19. So thus reads the word of the Lord. The Bible says, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, the word says they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, he sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." Some translations say a foal of a colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he had called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him. Don't miss this. Verse number 18. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard, reason that people, I ain't seeing so good right here. Because they heard that also that of what he had done this sign. Excuse me, y'all, the lighting. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. I want to read verse number 18 again. It says, for this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see, you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing and doing of his word. So I want to talk to you tonight about Christ as the King. And again, you know, it's so often that during this season that we talk about Jesus entering into Jerusalem on the foot of a coal, on a donkey, young donkey. And the scripture says that the people laid out before him palm branches, which actually is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 9, also a fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. And so we generally preach this text. We generally teach this text during this time. And we talk about his declaration of him being the king and what that means as he comes into Jerusalem during this time. But if you're not careful, and as you read through this, you can kind of speed through this. And there's a lot more going on in this text than sometimes meets the eye. And so in this chapter, the scripture says that Jesus had returned to Bethany, right? And this place, this particular little city where Lazarus, the scripture says, who was dead, whom he raised from the dead. And so Christ comes back to Bethany after having raised Lazarus from the dead. They have a supper for him, right? It's right there in the text. We get an opportunity to read it. They have a supper, right? And the scripture says that Martha's doing what she's normally doing. She's serving, you know, Martha, you know, she's doing her thing. And they're having this supper for him, this feast for him. And the scripture says that Mary comes and opens a alabaster box of some expensive oil. And the scripture says that it's a spikenard or an expensive oil. And she comes and anoints John says she anoints his feet. But in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 7, the scripture says she anoints his head, which we know then customarily she would have anointed his head because by custom, that's what you would do for the person of the honor, the person of honor at the feast. But we understand that she anointed not just his head, but his feet, which means then she anointed his head to honor him, but she anointed his feet to worship him. Come on, somebody. And so then this anointing of his head was for his honor, but the anointing of his feet was for his worship. And so she was declaring that she identified that he is indeed the Messiah, the anointed one, and that Christ recognized that this is nearing his death. This is nearing his time of departure. The disciples, the one of them, Judas, you know, says, hey, why waste this expensive oil, man? We could have given this to the poor. They get him straight because he really wasn't concerned about the poor. He was a thief. He was taking money out of the money box. So that's a different sermon. But the scripture says that at the next day after the feast, I just want to walk through this because I want to give you some background, that the next day after the feast, those who had attended the feast, look out there now, when they heard Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. Now remember, Bethany and Jerusalem is like, you know, like, uh, like Shotwell and Raleigh. You know, it's like, you know, Paddle Springs and Marietta. You know, it's just a stone's throw down the road, not very far. And so the scripture says that the next day, as he's coming into Jerusalem, the people now who understand now that he's coming into Jerusalem, the word says that they began to lay down palm branches. Look out there. And cried out, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they pronounce him king of Israel. Oh, my God. And Jesus finds a young donkey, the scripture says, and rides in on the donkey, which was his overt way of declaring that he is indeed Christ the King. Oh, my Lord. My Lord, my Lord. All right, y'all. I'm trying to break it down, break it down. So he fulfills Isaiah 49 and Zechariah 99. But like I said to you, there's a lot more going on here than meets the eye. So the religious leaders of that day, they got a problem. They got a problem. They got a problem with Jesus. Been trying to kill him, been trying to stone him. As a matter of fact, when he goes back to call Lazarus out of the grave, the disciples said, wait a minute, Lord, you going back there? They just was trying to stone you just a few days ago, and you're going to go back? And so he goes back to this place of hostility. He goes back to this place, man, where the leaders are trying to figure out how to get rid of this Jesus, because he's causing problems, man. You're causing some issues. But what's interesting in this text is that not only were they plotting to kill Jesus, but they decided they would kill Lazarus also. Oh, my Lord. This is your Bible. You ain't tore it out. And I'm like, wait a minute. Man, I preached this sermon a number of years. And we generally talk about the donkey, the lowly beast of burden, and how he didn't come into Jerusalem on a war horse. But he rode in on a lowly beast of burden. You know, come on, y'all. You know, you got my background's in Baptist, all right? So you know I'm going with this, right? And so we build that whole scenario about him coming in on a animal for service. But tonight, I want to look at this issue about them wanting to kill Lazarus. Because really, in a sense, I'm like, okay, I can understand the fact that Jesus has turned their religious system upside down. He's turned the culture upside down. He has exposed this naked and empty religious system, this monetized religious order, this pecking order of who's important and who's not. He's turned this whole thing upside down. I get it. You mad at Christ. You need to figure out how to get rid of him so you could get back to your social order. And you know what? I can even go along with you wanting to get rid of the donkey. I mean, after why? After all, he did carry Jesus into Jerusalem. And he was also a part of this prophetic fulfillment of Christ being king. I can almost see getting rid of the donkey. But what I don't understand is why get rid of Lazarus? What did Lazarus do? Lazarus had nothing to do with Isaiah 49. Lazarus didn't have anything to do with Zechariah 99. He has nothing to do with this. Why kill Lazarus? What makes Lazarus so dangerous to them that not only have they decided that they're going to crucify and kill Christ, but they're going to throw Lazarus in the kitty as well? They're going to add his name to the hit list. They're going to put a contract on him as well. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to understand this. Why? Why kill Lazarus? What makes him so dangerous? So verse number 9 says, watch this now. Got a little hint clue here. Verse number 9 says, now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, meaning Jesus. And they came, don't miss this, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they may also see Lazarus. Uh-oh, I think I'm getting it. Whom he, Jesus, had raised from the dead. But the chief priest plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed Jesus. Oh, I think I got it. I think I see it. So the problem is, I'm trying to keep this thing in roll tonight now. The problem is that Lazarus is a victim of circumstance. It's not that he himself has done anything wrong, but he's guilty by association. Come on, somebody. He's guilty because, see, Lazarus, I know you really didn't have anything to do with it, but you caught up in this thing because the same problem we got with Jesus, come on, somebody, we now have with you. And that's the basis for my text tonight. And I'm gonna try to land this plane, man, in a decent order tonight. But you got to excuse me, boy, because this thing speaks to me. Lazarus is dangerous to them. And he causes a problem for them. And I want to suggest to you tonight that the same reason and for the same purpose that the Pharisees are trying to get rid of Lazarus is the same reason that the enemy keeps trying to get rid of you, because you are dangerous to his cause. Let me give you what I'm talking about. When you read this text, the text says, watch this now, that the chief priest, but notice they didn't say the Sanhedrin, which means that in all probability, that this group of religious leaders are not the council in its entirety. This is a small sect of the aggregate, small part of the aggregate who's trying to figure out how to kill Jesus. Come on, somebody. You know, there's always the group inside the group. There's always the clique inside the group. And so in all likelihood, this is the Sadducees. Come on, somebody. How do you know this, Bishop? How do you get this? The reason I know this is the Sadducees is because Lazarus causes a problem they cannot get around. You understand, and I'm sure you've read your Bible. The Sadducees were those who claimed that there was no resurrection. Come on, somebody. Oh, yeah. Remember when Paul is standing before the council and they're trying to figure out what to do with him? Paul incites an argument between the Pharisees and the Sadducees by starting a conversation about the resurrection. And because he started talking about the resurrection, the Sadducees and the Pharisees start arguing. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me up in here. Yes, I get it now. The problem with you, Lazarus, is that you are a witness to the Sadducees that their theology is broken, because here's a man who was dead now standing alive. Hold me up, Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to this tonight? All right. Let me bring it out. So Lazarus is a problem. And so the enemy got a problem. And getting rid of Jesus ain't going to do me no good if I leave Lazarus around. Lazarus was a problem. It was dangerous for three reasons. I'm going to leave you alone. Watch this. First of all, Lazarus was a problem because he was a real person. A real person. Lazarus was an individual. He was a man. He was a real individual. This man had a family. Somebody say family. How do you know this? Well, the Bible says he had a sister. He had two sisters, one named Mary, one named Martha. So if he had two sisters, he had to have a mother. He had to have a father. Their father had to have a mother and a father. So he had a grandmother. He had a grandfather. Whether he was still alive or not, I don't know. That's not my point. My point is he had a family. Yes, he had a family. Not only did Lazarus have a family, but the Bible said he lived in a small town outside of Jerusalem called Bovina. I'm sorry, that's for my Vicksburg people. Y'all gonna get it. He lived in a little small place called Bethany, right? And the scripture said not only did he live in Bethany, but he had an address too, y'all. I don't know whether it's 123 Mulberry Street, Bethany, Jerusalem. I don't know what the address was, but the man had a house. He lived somewhere. Can you say amen to this? The man, if he lived somewhere, then in all likelihood, he paid taxes. If he paid taxes, then in all likelihood, he was a citizen. I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. He was known in the community. He wasn't just some straggler man that you know, this wasn't a parable. This wasn't just a certain man. This man was named in the Bible by three of the synoptic gospels. His name was Lazarus. His sister's name was Mary and Martha. He was a real individual. Preach, Eddie. Yeah, he was known in his community. He had cousins, y'all. Come on, somebody. He had people who knew him. He had people he went to school with. He had people, man, he went to college with. He had people he worked with. This man was a real man. I'm driving this thing home tonight because we have too many Bible critics who want to talk about how, you know what, the Bible, and there ain't nothing that really said that Jesus really existed. I don't know what you're reading, because I'm reading a Bible whose records a man's name, his family, where he lived, and what he did. And if you're going to lie about something, you'll just say a certain man. You wouldn't call the man's name. That's verifiable. This man existed. Can you say amen to this? Man got sick, y'all. Got sick. That's what word says. Word says he got sick. They sent word to Jesus for him to come. Jesus didn't come immediately. And subsequently, he died. And so if the man died, phone calls were made. The doctor's office got records. The pharmacy got records of medications that were called in. Insurance claims were called. I'm just modernizing it. This man existed. This man was real. Right? He was real. He was known by people. He had a nickname. I don't know what it was, but like the bus, he had a nickname, right? Right? What's the principle you're trying to get home? Trying to drive home. See, one of the things that make you dangerous to the enemy is because not only are you a real person, but you're connected. The enemy tries so hard to make us feel like we're alone and by ourselves. And when you're alone and by yourself, people feel like they could just handle you any kind of way and do anything they want to do with you, and that their agenda for your life can be run unfettered and uncontested. But baby, when you got family and when you're connected to people, you just can't do anything to a person who's connected to a community. Come on, somebody. This man couldn't just disappear. Come on. Lazarus couldn't just not show up to work the next day. This man couldn't just, Mary, you seen Lazarus? Martha, go back to Mary. No, I didn't see him. Well, he's normally home doing this time. Something must be wrong. I'm trying to get you to understand tonight that when you are a real person connected to community, the enemy can't just do anything to you. Couldn't just kill this man. People knew him. He had history. Come on, somebody. And so the principle is the enemy wants us to think that we're alone and unloved. And that's one of the unintended side effects of social media. Nothing wrong with Facebook. Nothing wrong with Twitter. Nothing wrong with those things. But they give us a false sense of community. The only people you're connected with cannot be people you see through a screen. You need to use this screen to make some phone calls. You need to get on here and reach out and touch some people. I know right now we have to do social distancing, but at least you can do it through an email and through a text message. Do something, make a phone call, and get that feeling of connectedness back. Can you say amen to this? I used to like watching Discovery Channel. And you know, the lion walks around the herd of antelope, gazelles, and it's about a couple thousand of them out there. You know, you've seen it. There's a couple thousand of them. They all down there drinking water, and they looking around because they're trying to make sure, you know, You know, I'm just kind of keep an eye out because something might pop off. You know, something pop off and you look now, you better run. You're going to be stick with me now. And what he does is he starts running towards the herd. Can't eat all them people. Can't do nothing with all them. So he disturbs the herd and gets them running. He just chasing behind them. But what happens is the herd goes left. And then one of them make the mistake, ain't paying attention. Come on, somebody. Huh? Come on. One of them gets disconnected. Now he has the one that he can get. I'm trying to help us tonight. Because the enemy wants to separate you. He wants to isolate you. He wants to peel you off from the community so that he can do what he wants to do in your life. Couldn't just kill this man. They talk about we're gonna kill Larry too. How you gonna do it? How you gonna do it? Just gonna come into the man's house? How you gonna do this? How you just gonna reach out and just take that man's life? You can't do it. The man's connected. People know him. My point I'm trying to get you to understand tonight is you're dangerous because there's not only you, but there's the community of people around you. And when you got community of people around you who care for you, they're gonna tell you the right things. They're going to help you. They're going to assist you. Don't be a lone wolf. Don't be a loner. Reconnect with some people so that you can stop trying to fight this enemy in your head, because you can't fight him by yourself and you definitely can't fight him in your head. You're going to need some people. And I hope this is one of the things that comes out of all that we're going through today. We've taken community for granted. We've taken our loved ones for granted. I'm going to tell you something. I had to repent. Because I cannot go see my mother, and that's bothering me. Yes, it is. And I tell you what, as soon as I can, and I'm sure my wife feels the same way about her mother, as soon as we can, we going to get them cars pointed towards Raleigh and towards Vicksburg as fast as we can. Because you don't miss things until you can't do it. Some of us had taken church for granted. I'm going on. I know I'm in trouble tonight. I know I'm stepping on your toes. We've taken church for granted. Now we can't go. And all over social media, people, I just long for church. I just can't wait till I can go back. Okay, I'm going to hold you to that. I took a screenshot. I'm going to hold you to it. I can't say amen to that. All right, so we're dangerous to the enemy because we're connected. Can you say amen to this? The word says, watch this now. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, Jesus said, for himself, he said, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. You in community, man. You in a group of people, man. You're in a cloud of witness of believers. You're not by yourself. Don't buy into that. And because you're not by yourself, the enemy can't just do anything to you. You're dangerous. All right, point number two. Lazarus was dangerous not only because he was a real person, but he was a real person with a stinky past. Oh, look out there now. So the word says that Lazarus got sick. See in your Bible if you ain't tore it out. Word says he got sick and he died. And the word says when he died, they sent word to Jesus. Jesus come, see about him. Jesus said, nah, don't feel led to go right now. When he did go, Lazarus was already dead, buried, right? And in a state of decay. Can you say amen to this? And so Jesus has conversations with Mary and Martha about it. They said, Jesus, if you had only been here, we know my brother would not have died. Jesus said, you will see him again. They said, yeah, we know we're going to see him in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Oh, my God. And then he says to them, show me where he's laid. Showed him where it was laid. He said, now move the stone. Mm-mm. Can't move that stone, Jesus. Why? Because he's stinking. Surely by now his body's decomposing. He's stinking. You don't move that rock. Don't move that stone. He's stinking. Lazarus had some stink in his past. Come on, somebody. Can you say stink? Here's the principle I want you to get. This man can never tell his story without including the stinky part. Hold me up, Holy Ghost. He, listen, as he's now talking to people, walking, all of this, this man can never give his testimony without including the stinking part. Can you say amen to this? See, this is what I'm trying to get us to understand tonight. What makes you dangerous to the enemy is that not only are you a real person and you connected to community, but you're a real person with a stinking past. Now, I just want to say this from the outset. Maybe some of you all been in church all your lives and you ain't never done nothing wrong. You've never messed up. And maybe Jesus found you in the tomb. He called you out. You didn't, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I know what my testimony is. I know what my history is. I know where I come from. I know what I've been through. And I can tell you with no uncertain terms, my past was stinking. No, I'm not going to sit here and act like I've been preaching all my life. Listen, I got some stink on me since I've been a preacher. I'm going to tell the truth. Shame the devil. All of us got some stink on us. If you don't believe me, read your Bible. The word said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not y'all have sinned. It says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord. Amen. But here's what I need you to get. We try so hard to cover up and hide and from our stinky parts. We try so hard to tell our stories without telling them. We want to take that part and put it away. But I want you to understand, Lazarus makes what makes him dangerous is the fact that he has some stink in his past. The man was dead. Now he's alive. I want you to know what makes you dangerous to the enemy is that you got some stink in your past. And here's the thing about it. Your stink, if it's like mine, is undeniable. Come on, somebody. Some things you can't deny. There's something. Listen, there's some people who know you, been knowing you long enough. Baby, they can call a roll. Because you know why? They was with you when you did some of the stuff you did. I ought to get a high five right there. I'm grateful to God that I got some friends right now that I know that in the past we ran the streets, did things we had no business doing. But now look at it. Now both of us saved. Glory. Hallelujah. And there are some people who know you long enough to know where you come from and what you've done and how you got caught up in some mess. Listen, it's undeniable. But what I want you to know tonight is that your undeniable, stinking, unpopular past is what makes you dangerous to the enemy. You know why? Because you got a testimony. Lazarus, but I was gone, y'all. I was gone. I was decaying. I was laying in there. It was over for me. But I heard the voice of my Savior say, come forth. And I came forth differently than I went in. I came in one way, came out of, no, y'all ain't going to help me preach up in here today. He came out differently than he went in. The word says he came out bound and he was hopping out with gray clothes on. And Jesus says, loose that man and set him free. Take that stuff off of him. And where he was dead, now he's alive. Am I talking to any people tonight that used to be dead, but now you're alive? So you can say the thing you want to say about me, but what you can't say is I ain't saved. You can call the roll on my past. You can put it on a signboard if you like. But the thing you can't say is that Jesus hadn't changed my life. Somebody ought to say, preach, preacher. Amen. That makes you dangerous. And so many of us, man, are so embarrassed and have so much shame about what we've done and where we've been and what we've gone through. And I'm not saying that we ought to be proud of it, but I am saying it's a part of your story. And you cannot be who God has called you to be. And you can't tell your testimony like you need to tell it without including the stinking part. And I'm not just saying that everybody you meet, you tell all your business. That's not what I'm saying. Be spirit-led, be very discerning, but he gave you the testimony for a reason, because Lazarus is going to meet somebody else that he needs to give that testimony to. You're going to meet somebody else who used to smoke crack, who used to run the streets, who was a womanizer or a whore. No matter, you call the role. All of us are going to meet somebody who was in the place where we used to be. And you can say, I know what that's like. I've been there. Let me introduce you to a king who's able to save to the uttermost. And I think that one of the reasons why we cannot go back to church, to the building right now, it's because we got too comfortable with them buildings. I know, I'm going to get in trouble. Somebody going to send me an email. We got too comfortable, y'all. We got too comfortable. We got too comfortable coming and sitting and leaving. Coming and sitting and leaving. Coming and sitting and leaving. But now we got to find a way to do this thing differently. And all we got to talk about is Christ the King. Can you say amen to that? I want you to know that the enemy will try to shut you up, get you to be quiet, but don't you do it. Don't you do it. You tell your story, every part of it, every jot, every tittle, you tell it, you tell it, and you tell it, and you be sure that in your telling that God gets the glory. Just make sure that all of your telling, be sure don't talk about, yeah, I got myself together. No, you didn't get yourself together. Don't be talking about, yeah, but then I pulled myself up by my bootstrap. No, you did not. God reached down into your muck and your mire, and he pulled you out of your mess, just like all the rest of us. Be sure he gets the glory. You say, man, it is. And that's what makes us dangerous. My point number three, and I'm leaving alone tonight. What also made Lazarus dangerous? He was a real person with a stinky past that would not be quiet. Ah, my God, the man wouldn't be quiet, y'all. Wouldn't be quiet. See, look. He could have just stayed in the house, right? I won't go nowhere. Because, you know, I was dead. So, I don't know what's going on out there. So, you know, I ain't so sure about this thing. I know I'm alive now, but, you know, you don't know. I don't know how long this going to last. I don't know how long this blessing going to last. So, you know, I'm just going to, Martha, you can make me some soup, you know, build up my immune system. Could have walked in fear. This man out here among folk, man, at the feast, sitting at the table with Jesus. And here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. He's sitting at the table with Jesus, sitting beside America's most wanted, somebody the religious people to put a hit out on Jesus, and here you are sitting right next to him. Drive back and happen at any moment. Lazarus sitting at the table with Jesus. Can you say amen to this? I'm done. See, here's the thing, right? Lazarus could have avoided all of this. He didn't have to have people gawking at him. He didn't have to be on America's Most Wanted. Didn't have to have a contract on his life. All he had to do was do what the donkey did. That's all. See, if he had done like the donkey, wouldn't have these problems. What do you mean, Bishop? Oh, you know what the donkey did, right? The donkey had one brief encounter with Jesus, and after it was over, went back to whatever he was doing, never to say anything about what Christ had done for him. Hold me up, Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm coming up, I'm walking up here tonight. That's unfortunately the question for us tonight. Are you going to be like Lazarus, or are you going to be like the donkey? Are you going to have one brief encounter with Christ just so you can say, I met him, and then go on with your life like you don't know him and say nothing about him? No. My question to you tonight is, watch this. The Pharisees, Sadducees, they were upset with Christ. The Sadducees were mad because Lazarus was a witness that Jesus Christ is truly the King. You can't deny it. The man sitting here, you can't say it didn't happen. Listen. They had a film for the man. They put they brought him in the church. The preacher preached over him. They put him in the back of the hearse. They drove him out to the cemetery. They said words over him at the grave site. The people put the dirt on top of the casket. He had a spray of flowers. He had cards. They read scriptures. They had a repast and all of this stuff. There's no denying it. This man died. And the word says the people came out to see not Jesus, but to see him also. And Lazarus wouldn't be quiet. Wouldn't be quiet. And here he is, the man that was dead, sitting beside the King. And it is after that, Jesus goes, rising to Jerusalem on a donkey, saying, yes, I am indeed the King. Wasn't the donkey that fortified that truth. It was Lazarus. It was the man who was dead, who's now alive, who drove the point home. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, our God and our King. Oh, my God. You know what Hosanna means? Hosanna means, Lord, save us, please. That's what Jesus was trying to get us to understand. He is the King. And I want to ask you now, have you met him personally? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you accepted him as your Christ and King? Because if you have not, you need to do that. You need to do that. You need to do that tonight. Romans 10:17. Read it. It says that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. The Bible says, the scripture says that no one calling upon the name of the Lord, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call on him. You accept him. If you don't know how to do it, reach out to me. Send me an email. Reach out to me on Facebook Messenger, somehow or another. I will get on the phone with you, and I will walk you through that process. But you need to do it. He came riding on a donkey, but he's coming back. Riding on a war horse. Yeah. Christ is indeed our King. Hosanna. Rejoice! Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he. Comes in the name of the Lord. I hope it's all well with your soul. Thank you so much for meeting with me tonight. My name is Bishop Eddie Gross. And this is the Equip for Destiny podcast, where we are equipping progressive-minded people for destiny. Listen, got some great and wonderful things that's coming on the horizon for this ministry. Keep me in prayer. Got a lot of work to do, but I am convinced that in this season, what God is showing me, how we need to continue to expand the reach of this podcast. Got some awesome things coming down the pipeline. So just continue to connect with us. Continue to meet us back here every Thursday night at 7:30, every Sunday night 7:30. We post periodically through the week on Facebook as well. We have some other resources for you for your spiritual growth, found at equipfordestiny.org. You can go over there, man, for other messages like these and others. We just finished a wonderful series on prayer. Praise God. And we're about to start a series, and we're going to be talking about hearing God. That's going to be our next teaching series, where we're going to be teaching people how to hear the voice of the Lord, how to hear him clearly, and to know what he's saying to you. A lot of people say to me, Bishop, I want to pray and I want to hear God, but how do I know when he's talking to me? And we're going to go through a teaching series on that as well. Okay. Listen, keep me lifted up in your prayers. Not only me, but all pastors as well. I know that I'm kind of hard on pastors, and I probably said some things this week that, was a little challenging for some of them, but pray for them. They're trying to sort their way through this as well. This is new territory for a lot of churches, and they're trying to find their way. So be patient with them. And also, if you belong to a church, don't forget to sow a seed. Don't forget to continue to give to your church. They need it. And I'm not saying this. No one told me to say this. I am a pastor, so I understand. Listen, some things don't stop because people not coming. So as much as you can and as much as God has laid upon your heart, continue to sow to your church. Continue to reach out. Call some people. Call your pastor if you can, if he's a person that you can reach out to. But particularly, keep them lifted up in prayer, okay? All right. Also, we want to continue to pray for all of those who are who have lost loved ones over this COVID. Man, this thing is terrible. But I just want you to remain encouraged and want you to know that God is still in control. I don't have the answer for it. I'm not going to sit here and try to give you an answer for all of this, right? But what I do know is I know that God is still in control. Can you say amen to that? You need to share that with somebody, that God is still in control. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with me tonight. I'll meet you back here, same place, same time, Thursday, 7:30 p.m. for Equipped for Destiny. My name is Bishop Eddie Gross. God bless you, and you have an awesome